This week's parsha is Lech Lecha. It's one of my favorite parshas because it's my Bar Mitzvah parsha the Shabbos. And besides being my Bar Mitzvah parsha, it's action packed. There's just so much to talk about in this parsha. It's the beginning of Avraham Avinu and the journey of the destiny of the Jewish people. What I wanted to talk about today is something which is a little difficult to understand on the surface. It's also a little like scary and frightening. And in many ways, it reflects the history of the Jewish people, as in our the various Mefarshim, as well as our sages, understood that's what it was referring to, and that is the Bris Bein HaBsarim, the covenant between the parts, Bris Bein HaBsarim, which is the conversation that Hashem has with Avraham Avinu, more than halfway through the parsha, the beginning of Shishi, the sixth Aliyah. Where Avram has already made the journey to the land of Israel. He's faced a number of challenges since he arrived, including the famine and the issues that he had with Sarah and Paro in Egypt, and then the whole separation with Lot and the war, the four kings and the five kings. It hasn't gone easy. And finally, after, it seems like things are now sort of settling down, that he's defeated the four kings. He's back in the land of Israel. He has a lot of wealth, but he has got one major problem. The one major problem is that the person, presumably who he thought was going to take over after him, was Lot, is gone. Lot has disappeared. He's joined. He's in Sodom, and he has no children. So Hashem in Chamishi promises him that he'll have a child. They'll have offspring, and then what happens is. After that occurs, again, this is the beginning of Shishi. This is in a Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Tezayin. And God says, "Vayomer I'm the one who took you out of Ur Kasdim," which is very interesting because Ur Kasdim, we haven't heard about Ur Kasdim in the Torah until this point. And our rabbis have a very famous, well-known medrash, a tradition. That Ur Kasdim is where was the furnace that that Avram as a child, as a young man, was thrown into as a punishment by the leader back in Babel by Nimrod, that when he had destroyed the idols of his father and he had been preaching a monotheism, so he was sentenced to death and miraculously right, he escaped from this furnace from this fire. So I'm God who rescued you from that inferno. From that moment, you, the individual Avram, your life was in danger. You were clinging to me. You believed in me, but the ruler at the time tried to destroy you because of that faith. And I'm emphasizing this because what's about to unfold is what's about to unfold with what did occur with Avram is going to now be predicted to occur with his future descendants. So you remain committed. To me, God, and yet you were oppressed by Nimrod, thrown in the fire. Yet I rescued you, and I rescued you. Lasseis lachas aretz. I've given you now this land as an inheritance. So, what's Avram's response? Does he say, "Hashem, yeshakayach, thank you so much"? He says, "No." The following says Avram, "Vayomar, Hashem Elokim b'ma'idah ki rishana. How do I know that I'm going to inherit this land?" And so, the Mefarshim all. Want to know what was Avram asking here? God just told him you're going to be given the land, and this is not the first time God was told that Hashem told Avram he was going to receive the land. He's already been told several times already in this parsha that it's called Eretz Azos, this entire land that you see. Sorry, Nacha, Yama, Tzafona, look right, left. I'm giving you this land, God says, and then even at the beginning of the parsha, he says, "Lech lecha, go to this land that I will show you." And when he arrives in the land of Israel, so once again, there Hashem says, "Lazarecha tenas aretz hazos," I'm going to give you this land. So what's he asking again? B'mayda, how do I know I'm going to inherit the land? So most of the Mefarshim suggest, the Radak, the Ramban, many of them suggest that what he was concerned about is, would this be eternal? Would this be forever? Would this be unconditional? Because what would happen if my children, my descendants, are not necessarily deserving of the land? Are they going to lose it? Is it going to be permanently taken away from them? So it's at this point that God is going to make him the promise that this is forever. That this is that this covenant, that this agreement, that this deal, it's for all time. But it comes with a little bit of a caveat. Now, a little bit of a caveat, a major caveat, that it's not going to be an easy journey, to say the least. And now the following unfolds. And again, it's a little difficult to understand a lot of what now, it's very descriptive. There's a lot of animals about to be mentioned, a lot of smoke and fire and dreams and fear, and a lot's going on in the next few psukim. So what does God say? Vayomer Elav, k'chali egla mishulashas. He says, take for me egla mishulashas. Egel's a calf, and mishulashas, the Ibn Ezra says, a calf that's 3 years old. Most Mefarshim disagree with the Ibn Ezra. Most Mefarshim say, take three calves. V'ez mishulashas, take also three goats. V'ayo mishulash, and three rams. In addition to that, v'sor v'gozal, take for me a turtle dove and and some sort of gozal, a fledgling, some sort of other type of bird. Take all these animals. And what are you going to do with all these animals? And then cut them down the middle, cut them in half. Right? But this is a bris bein absar, the covenant between the parts. Put them down the middle. Right? Cut them in the center. So Avram cuts them in half, all these animals. And he puts one on one side and one on the other side, one side opposite the other. That's Hatzipor Lo Vasar. But the bird, he did not cut. The animals he did, but not the bird. So before we even go on, so what's happening here? So Rashi has two possibilities that, again, the Chazal basically suggests as well. One possibility is that God is telling Avram, what is the secret? What's going to allow the Jewish people to remain in the land? And so the first thing is their service to God. It's the korbanos, the sacrifices, right? So they're serving Hashem with dedication and devotion. And, you know, these three different, you know, three calves, three goats, and three rams. So Chazal and Rashi quotes this, suggests it's referring to all different types of sacrifices that have these different types of animals. And so the calf, you know, the cows are a reference to the calf, the special par, that bull that's brought in Yom Kippur, the par Elm Dover Shalt Sibor, special bull that was brought if for the wrong psak rule was given by the based in Agadol, and the Jewish people all made a mistake, followed that incorrect ruling. And then the Egla Rufa, the calf that was decapitated, there was a dead body, and they didn't know who was responsible. In other words, all these different types of sacrifices you're going to be commanded about, and that if you fulfill these commandments, so then you will the land will be yours. You'll remain in the land, and you'll be able to live there in peace and harmony. So that's one approach. You can just broaden it. It's not only the sacrifices, but perhaps it's in general the Torah. Observing the entirety of the Torah, so that will allow you to remain in the land. That's one approach that Rashi says. Another approach, he says, is that it used to be a way in which covenants were made in the ancient world was through splitting something apart and walking in between. He says, the following, the Derech Karsei Bris, this is the practice of those who enter into a covenant. They would divide an animal, Labra Bein Besarea, and the pass between its pieces, right? Again, Bris Bein Absara. Kabashanem Ar Lahalan, Ovrim Bein Bisrea Egel, those who pass between the pieces of calf. Classic in Yirmiyah, which also describes the way that people would make covenants. Afkan, Tanur Ashan, Lapide, Shasheravar Bein Exarim, the God's fire is going to descend upon us, and this would be a way to solidify this deal, this commitment that God was making to to Avram at this moment. So again, so what? Quick recap. So what's happening? Avram is concerned. Is this going to be forever? Right? Is it, God, is this a deal you're making with me, not only with me, but all my future descendants? And Hashem says yes. Right? And here's how we're going to make this bris. Again, it could be that the animals themselves represent the Jewish people and their commitment to serving Hashem. But then there's a third possibility. The third possibility, Rashi and Ramban and many others on Chazal suggest this as well. And what are these different animals that are being split apart? Ha'umos. These are the nations. All right, these are the nations of the world that are going to come upon us and to oppress us and to harm us. You know, even right now we're dealing with anti-Semitism once again. So, and it just continues. Every generation, it maybe comes in a different form, but it, you know, even tonight, you know, they have a scare in New Jersey with threats against Shuls, and like, it doesn't end. And so that's what this is. It says the Parim, the Elim, the bulls, the rams, the Sirim, the goats. If you look, Rashi says, you look in the Pesukim and throughout Tanakh, often the different nations of the world are compared to these different animals. Shenemar quotes a pasuk in Tehillim of a Savavuni Parim Rabim Vigomir. Many bulls have surrounded me. The bulls are these, you know, these vicious animals that are coming against us to harm us, the Jewish people. And he quotes Psukim about rams and about goats, all these that refer to these different nations. And then furthermore, he gets very specific, Chazal, and they say that that the ram is the a reference to Paras and Madai. It's a reference to Persia, right? The subjugation that we had, you know, the Purim story, Persia, Medea. And the Sa'ir and the goat is Yavan, is Greece. And the, you know, and the ram might be a reference to Edom, to, you know, to Rome. And all these nations are coming up against us to harm us, but the fact that you are going to cut them in half is symbolic that ultimately they will be destroyed, that ultimately they will be defeated, that they will ultimately be just carcasses lying on the ground. And beautifully, right, Rashi says. And what's the bird, right? The bird, remember, the bird was the one animal that it didn't cut in half, right? The pasuk says that Vayikach lo eskol, he'll take all these animals, Vayivatero tam batavech, right, and cut them in half. That's Vayitain es bistrol de krasreyo, put one on one side, one on the other side. That's Hatzipor lo vasar, but don't cut the bird. Why not cut the bird? Because who's the bird? It's us. It's the Jewish people. Right, that we may be smallest of all these larger animals, but we are the one that will endure. Right, we will the one that will never be destroyed. Very, very beautiful imagery. But then, now, what's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is so again. So he does all this, right? Avram cuts these animals in half. He's got the bird there and everything. Then all of a sudden, right? He's about to do this ceremony, and he's cut the animals. And out of nowhere, what occurs? Vayered ha'ayin al begarim. All of a sudden, out of nowhere came a bird of prey. Like imagine imagine like, you know, being there with Avram. Avram takes all these animals. He's cutting them in half. He's putting them each to the side. He's doing what God wants him to do. All of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this bird of prey, and it's shooting down from the sky, and it's you know, about to grab, you know, these birds and the dove and then the carcasses. Vayashev son of Avram, and it was Avram drives it away. He shoots it away. So the Ramban, I believe, says on this. Nirmaz lo ki yavo am levatel karbonos. Right, the first explanation that Rashi gave was that these animals are a representation of the karbonos of our service of Hashem. Right, that we, the Jewish people, we try our best to cling to God, and to be show our devotion, and we hold steadfast, right? We go to shul and we daven and we do Shabbos and kosher. We do all the mitzvahs, and then who comes to prevent us from doing it, to stop us? Right? It's the bird of prey. It's the nations who come and try to decree that we Jews, we can't do Shabbos, right? Like Antiochus, the Hanukkah story, right? You can't do Rosh Chodesh, right? We can't learn Torah, but it's our job, the Jewish people, and we're being told that we follow our examples, that we can drive them away, we can push them away. We need to remain strong in our faith, and not to allow them to prevent us from maintaining our fidelity to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Vizera Avram Yerichum, that the descendants of Avram would ultimately be able to push away the nations that try to stop us from serving Hashem. So Avram is able to withstand the pressure. Avram doesn't allow this bird to take away, to stop him what he needs to do at this moment. But then the following happens. V'hine Hashemesh Lavo. All of a sudden the sun sets. And all of a sudden it becomes dark, right? It's very foggy. You can't see anything. The sardema nafla al Avram, and a deep sleep fell upon Avram. Falls asleep, and all of a sudden vihinei emach hashecha gadola nofel asulav. And all of a sudden he becomes very afraid, very frightened. This always reminds me of, if you're a Star Wars fan, the second movie that came out, The Empire Strikes Back, when Luke goes into to Yoda, and he goes like this very like dark world, and obviously he has to confront Darth Vader, and it's like this frightening imagery. And so also Avram is in this place where Luke Skywalker goes to Yoda, and he's about to learn from his master, everything should be wonderful, and all of a sudden it's like this very dark place, and also his enemies coming out. So we, the Jewish people, we're trying to serve Hashem, we're trying to do what we're supposed to do. And enemies are coming against us to try to drive us away, and then it just gets worse and worse. And also in this complete darkness and complete devastation, and Avram becomes so fearful, right? And he senses that he's not going to come out of this unscathed, right? The anti-Semitism and this is the Crusades, this is the Holocaust, this is the pogroms, this is the terrorist attacks. He can't avoid this. And that's when now the famous psukim that we all know, because we recite this at the Seder, by Yomer Lavram, God says to Avram, Yodo teido ki ger yezer achav eretz olam, that you should know that you'll be a stranger in a strange land, vavadum v'inu osam, and they will afflict you, arbam yoshana, for 400 years. Again, and the simple explanation is that this is a reference to what's going to happen immediately, right? And immediately, the 400 years that of Egypt, the slavery in Egypt, is going to unfold. Some of the Mephoroshim, they'll suggest this is a reference to the entire future of the Jewish people, that there's going to be this period of slavery, and this period of affliction, and this period of darkness and suffering and pain. And why is this going to happen? So one of two possibilities is going to happen. Either sometimes it's a punishment to us, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, or it's a consequence of us representing Hashem in this world. That this is the that we accepted upon ourselves. Avram accepted, and we reaccepted Har Sinai and future points in our history, that we were going to represent Hashem in this world. But other people don't want to hear this. Other people don't want to deny that there's a God, deny that there's a there's basic values and laws that mankind must uphold, the seven Noahide laws, laws of ethics and morality. And we represent all of that. And the nation think if they can get rid of us, they can destroy us, and they can destroy God. Right? They don't have to uphold these values. And so there's going to be these periods of great darkness and challenge that we as a people are going to go through. But God says to Avram, God says, ultimately I'm going to judge these people. Right? These people are not going to win out at the end. At the end of time, you're going to go out with much wealth, whether it's physical wealth or whether it's wealth in terms of your values and wealth in terms of your eternal rewards. But ultimately, you will emerge victorious from all of this. And now God turns to Avram and he says, Yata tavol v'asecha v'shalom tikava b'seiva tova. Turns to Avram and says that you'll die in an old age and you'll be buried. Again, it's going to be reference to Avram. It could be a reference to the Jewish people, that there will be moments of tranquility, and ultimately the dor revi'i yashuvein. Often the fourth generation will come back. Fourth generation, which some of fortune beautifully say, what's the fourth generation? Again, it could be a reference to Egypt, four generations in Egypt, or it could be the four nations that subjugated us, right? You have Babel, Babylonia, and you have Paras and Mada, you have Persia, and you have Yavan, that's three, the Greeks, and then four is Edom. Edom is the exile we're in right now, but the Dor Revi, that fourth exile, and as long as it's lasting, ultimately we will return from that. Ultimately, the ultimate redemption will occur at that moment. Kilo shalema vona helmuri adhena. This is very interesting, this line. For the iniquity of the Amorites shall not yet be fulfilled until then. There's two ways of looking at this pasuk. One pasuk, one way of we understand this, the basic way you understand this, is that going back to Egypt, is that God promised the land of Israel to Avram and his descendants, but there's one major problem, which we still face today, that there are people there before Avram, right? So why should they be removed from the land? So God says here, this gets repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu and Sefer Devarim, that those people lost Israel because of their sins, right? That not only did God promise the land to us, but it's also because of the sins of the people there that they lost the rights to remain in the land. But God's telling Avram that they had not, that night had not yet occurred. Their sins had not yet come so great that they were deserving. So it takes several generations till his descendants could come back and reclaim the land. It was very interesting. Or again, it's referring to, again, the future, that the nations maybe have some merits, and the ultimate redemption will only occur once they all their merits are lost. Only then will we ultimately be able to return and to live in peace and for the Mashiach to arrive. Okay, that one happens to finish off the story. So this is all happening in a dream, right? And this dream is he's afraid and it's at night and there's darkness. And then Vayihi Hashemesh Ba, then the sun emerges. Right? The sun rises. The opposite. The sun is going down when he has this dream. And then Vahiya Shemesh Ba, now the sun has gone away. Balatahaya, and now it's very dark. Vine Sanur Ashan Vlapidesh. And here's more of the fog, right? And now there's a smoky furnace, and there's a fire which passes between the pieces. In other words, God now appears on the scene. Right. And this is reminiscent of Har Sinai. Right? When the giving of the Torah, it describes in Parshas Yisro, Mishpatim of the cloud and the fog and the darkness where God appears on the mountain. And so here now God is appearing. God is accepting Avram's sacrifice. Right? And God appears, Ashiravar bin Exarim Ela, and he passes between the pieces. And Bayomahu, on that day, in that moment, Karasa Shemas Avram Brisley Mor, God made a covenant with Avram saying, Lazaracha, and here it is. Okay, Avram, I see you're committed. And God says, I'm now making my commitment back to you. To your children, Nasatius Aretz Azos, I'm giving you this land, Minahar Nitzayim, Anahar Gadol, Nahar Peras. Esakini, Vesakini, Vesakadmoni, Vesakiti, Vesaprizi, Vesrafaim, Esamari, Vesakani, Vesakashi, Vesavusi. This entire land, it's all now going to be given to you and to your descendants. So that is the famous Bris Bein Habsarim. This is the covenant between the parts, and it occurs when Avram wants to know what will be in the future, right? And Avram understands that it could be that not every generation of his descendants are going to be deserving of the land, right? And there may be moments when maybe there's the Jews are deserving of punishment or of exile or tragedy and suffering, And what's going to be? What's going to be? So Hashem says, ultimately, it's going to be yours, right? That it will always be yours, but there will be these moments of difficulty along the way. But you should know, number one, that it won't be forever. You should know that these nations that will come up and rise up against you, ultimately, they will be destroyed, right? That's the cutting the animals in half. Ultimately, they will be decimated. And you will remain, although you're that little bird, right? But you'll always remain whole and intact, right? You may be bruised, but you'll always be there. You'll never be destroyed like they will be. They're going to come and go, but you will always be here. And again, there's moments when again, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the Ramban's approach, that you're serving Hashem and you're just minding your own business and you're trying to get close to Hashem and be an example to the world. And that vulture is going to come down, try to stop you, try to prevent you. And it's going to be your job to stand strong, right? I've had to shoo away the bird. I've had to show his commitment. And so Hashem says, that's going to be, your challenge in those very difficult moments. But ultimately, don't give up, right? Even in those moments when you fear, when the sun is setting, there's darkness, there's fog, that ultimately you will emerge. Ultimately, your destiny is guaranteed. And that, just stay strong in those difficult moments. And, this what it boils down to, this becomes basically a prediction of the future. This becomes Jewish history, right? This entire, this one moment, this covenant that God makes with Avram, it describes what's going to occur in Egypt, but it's going to describe what's going to unfold, even to this day. Still going through the same thing, but on a positive note, this is God's always constant challenge to us. It's God's constant reminder to us about our role and our responsibility in the world. And that, when these things happen, it's just that the nations are trying to push back. And it's our job just to remain as committed as we can, and to remain as strong as we are, and to stand up for who we are and our values. And ultimately, Hashem is with Avram. Right? Hashem is with Avram in that dream. And ultimately, there will be redemption. And ultimately, that Hashem will pull us out. And ultimately, there'll be this great reward that we will receive in the end of times. Just a difficult process getting there. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. We often mention this at the Seder, like Avram accepted this deal. Right, and I think this is very important. Just to end off with this final point, like I would think maybe I would say this is crazy. This is why in the world should I accept this? I'd rather just retire and let me go back to Or Kasdim and I'll sit in Kollel and leave me alone and I won't take on this challenge. I won't take upon this heavy responsibility. And yet Avram did not say that. Right, Avram readily accepted this. This deal, because he saw the eternal value and what this was all about, right? And I think this is like an important reminder for us as Jews as we go through these difficult periods. We go through these moments where we don't understand all the suffering and the pain and the difficulty, but it beats the alternative, because we have a purposeful life and a purposeful existence. Our people are an eternal people with an eternal mission. We represent God on this earth. And that's something, to never give up, to never abandon, even with all the difficulties and even with all the challenges. We have the ultimate promise by God that ultimately, there will be reward, and ultimately there will be a great benefit. It's just a long journey getting there, but the journey is all part of the process. It's all the steps that have to be taken in order to ultimately achieve what it is that God wants from us, what God wants mankind to ultimately recognize and understand, through the course of history. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos, and hopefully we should see that Dor Revi Yeshuva Hina, the fourth generation should return, the Rechush Gadol, and that great reward that God willing will unfold for us.